Hello and welcome to the ATL Shawty Hoops podcast. I'm Robbie Callen, joined as always by Bo Cherney. We're going to talk a little bit about your first place, Atlanta Hawks, to start off. I can't believe I get to say those words in January. Were you alive the last time this happened in January? I was like three.
I was one, I think. It was what, 1990, like January 94, I think.
I think it was January 94.
So it's over 20 years ago?
Or no, it was April 94, because that was the year they
won. Oh, yeah,
that's
right, they won. But, yeah. But,
yeah, so...
we were barely alive.
Exactly.
So this is a big deal, sort of. This is kind of explains a lot of, you know, Atlanta's attendance woes. People are like, oh, why don't people come out? Well, the team hasn't really been good for in a long time. So
the Jubilee has not been in first place in over 20 years.
So they've got that going for them now. They sold out the Bucks. They sold out the Bucks. So that's been the city's response to the Hawks doing well. Is, you know, the city's like, actually, oh crap, we might actually have something here if we want to watch.
They've been showing up lately. Attendance is up. Viewership is up. It's been interesting to watch. If you see Hawks fans on Twitter going crazy and you're wondering why a fan base is going crazy about being first in January, it's because it literally doesn't happen. So,
I love the Matt Morse tweet last night after they beat Portland. It's like, no, the Hawks aren't supposed to be this good. What's wrong?
No, they're not. I mean, they're not. It's just not supposed to happen, especially you look at this team and...
There's no Spud Webb.
There's no Kevin Willis. There's no Dominique Wilkins. No, you're correct. But, I mean, really, you look at it and there's not... You know, they've got really solid players and a few very good players. But it's just... It's really incredible the way they've kind of come together and the production they're getting from guys off the bench. And it's a hell of a coaching job by Coach Bud. And we're going to get to the ownership deal later. We're going to have ourselves a fantasy draft, an Atlanta ownership fantasy draft. We're going to create our own seven-member, as the current one is, seven-member ownership group, only made up by Atlanta rappers. So stay tuned. That's coming later. And we'll get into ownership a little more then. But for sure, whoever comes in, whatever rapper buys the team, because it has to be a rapper because it's Atlanta, whoever ends up buying the team, Coach Bud has to be priority number one for sure. I mean, you got to keep him around.
Right.
Because without what he's done, and really without what Danny Ferry did, this doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so whoever gets brought in from a management level needs to make sure that they are willing to be on the same page. I think that's got to be the first thing, the first priority for whatever happens.
Right. I think, I mean, the Hawks are literally in uncharted territory with how good they've been doing lately. And I think, I mean, that's definitely got to be the first thing you do is try to keep the architects of that around so you can have a successful franchise after you buy it.
I'm still not convinced that Danny's completely gone. I know people kind of assumed, I think we all kind of assumed he would be, but the way the league reacted and the way everything went down, I feel like he's probably gone for the year, but I do think there's a pretty good chance that he's back come summertime and that he stays in the mix. I mean, depends on what new ownership wants to do, but I think everybody... All the sentiments towards him from anybody around the league have been positive and saying that, you know, it's a mistake and that sort of thing. And so I think they'll try to make it some kind of redemptive second chance type deal. If the team wasn't playing as well, it would be a lot easier to get rid of him. But I think the way it's constructed and the way everything's worked, I do think Ferry probably – I would actually say at this point, I'd say it's favorable that he returns. I'd say more than 50%.
He might not get his, you know, original title back, I think. He might not be whatever.
He might not be GM and VP.
Yeah, he might just be
basketball ops, but he still might be.
He's definitely going to have a lot of influence. If he comes back, he's definitely going to have, you know, maybe not the same amount, but he's definitely going to have a ton of influence with how that team's built going forward.
And I mean,
it doesn't really matter what his title is at that point.
Right, and you know, we'll see what goes on. I don't know what new ownership would mean for Steve Koonin either, but he's done a good job. I think he would be a good guy to keep around. But whatever happens, let's talk a little bit about Hawks on the court. We'll get more into ownership later, but on the court, Jeff Teague last night against Portland was dynamic. He's as good. He's played when he's on this year. He's been really as good as anybody in the league at point guard, which is strange to say, but he's been terrific. What do you think of the way he's been playing? And Bud's been talking. They've been trying to get him to be more consistent. It looks like this year it's finally happening.
Yeah, and it's happening. And I was sort of asked this the other day. It's like, what's the biggest difference with Teague this year? And I mean, it just looks like he. I don't want to say he cares more, because obviously players always care, but he's definitely transferring that into effort more. You can see it really easily on the defensive end. He's fighting through screens better. He's not a good defender still, but he's definitely better than he has been in the past. He's more consistent. He's trying, basically, and that can make a huge difference.
Oh, it does. I mean, I think effort on defense is, it's not everything, but if you don't have it, you're just not going to be good. Like, there's nobody who can play defense. Like, there are guys on offense who are just, if you're a skilled shooter, you don't have to put in full effort.
Yeah, sometimes
always
you can just throw it up there and, you know.
But defense, I mean, like, there's so much positioning-wise that you have to do effort level, and Teague, for the first time in a while, has that on a consistent night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah, he showed it before. It was just always, with him, we would always Spurs. Make jokes, like in the first, you know, 5-10 minutes of the game. What, are we getting aggressive Teague or passive Teague? You can easily tell, because he's just, you know, he just kind of like, you know, moseyed around on defense. You know, would get
a reach in call early.
Yeah, would get caught in screens. Sometimes, you know, he'd go up the floor on offense without the ball, and, you know, like whoever is supposed to be bringing it up would get caught, and it's kind of like, Jeff, go help him. Go help. What are you doing? Why don't you go, you know.
He definitely looks more attentive.
Seems like he has an eye for the ball more in those sort of situations.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so you want to add on to that?
No, he's been good. Right. I think he hit the high points there.
So I have the stats pages up right now. And
yeah.
Just for him, he's like top 10 in assists, you know, top 15 in steals, top 15 in PER, top 15 in win shares. Like, he's been ridiculous this year. Like, if you look at it from a, like, just an entire league perspective.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how All-Star everything shakes out. Nobody on the Hawks getting voted in. That ain't going to happen. I know better than to think that's even close to happening. It's just, I mean, first, nobody has the national recognition. Like, nobody's like, oh, you know who's really good? That Al Horford cat. Like, that dude balls. or Millsap. I do think one or two guys are going to end up in there. I think Millsap's probably the guy that needs to be. Millsap and Teague are the two guys that probably are first on the coaches' lists.
Mm-hmm.
Horford just hasn't quite been there all season. He's getting there. He's still getting healthy a little bit, especially early on.
Right.
But I would be shocked if the coaches, especially if the Hawks are still number one, I'd be shocked if the coaches don't get at least one of those guys on, if not two. Like, that would be, I can't remember a team being first in their conference and not having a representative. Like, yeah. Coaches just don't do that.
I mean, I think it's gonna be two. I mean, I think at this point, I mean, you look at who's ahead of Teague. I think it's Wall and DeRozan, maybe, as guards.
Yeah, and DeRozan missed so much time.
Yeah. Just in vote.
Lowry, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, those two are going to get in, and then after that, I mean, you don't really have too much in the East anymore. Rondo's not taking up a bunch of votes.
Yeah,
that really frees up something.
Kyrie
so.
Probably makes it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the East.
East guards have been the adventure for a couple of years. Wade's probably in.
Yeah.
Wade probably
gets voted in.
I mean, there'll be a spot for him, I think, and then Millsap, I think, same deal. There'll just be a few guys ahead of him, but then there'll be a spot for him.
All like last year will get brought in by the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, coaches love Paul. You know, I mean, he's that
guy.
Yeah,
he does everything. You know, every team wants
Paul Millsap. I'm interested to see
what's going to be interesting his free agency run.
Yeah, I'm really interested in his free agency this offseason. He's going to get paid.
He deserves it.
Somebody's going to throw a number at him. I'll be interested to see how much the Hawks are willing to pay him, because it's clear that he works for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think how far they go in this year's playoffs makes a determining factor on that.
Right.
If this is an Eastern Conference Finals run, I think they try to get him back. If this is out in the second, maybe not, you know? I think it's...
Yeah.
It's going to be big on what they do, how competitive they are, and all of that. But he's just... He's so good in what the Hawks do that I find it hard for them not to at least try to match anything $13, $14
million. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I think you're right. I think they'll probably go that high, at least. Like regardless, mm-hmm. It depends maybe on yours. But I mean, if this team really does make a deep run, and Millsap's definitely going to be a big part of that. If they do, they're going to have to. They might have to, you know, put a big number up there.
You have to pay.
Yeah.
I'm a little distracted. Out my window, there is a woman standing on a ledge trying to grab her cat, and it's kind of funny. She finally got it. She got the cat.
Victory.
The cat's, like, being a dick, and, like, he's moving away. But she got him, and she did not fall. So shout out to that cat and that old lady. Moving on, let's talk a little bit more about the
East.
Great
segue, Robbie. Great segue.
Yeah, man, that's just right in there. The Hawks passed Toronto. The top four in the East now, Hawks, Raptors, Bulls have jumped Washington for third. Bulls are kind of on a tear of late. Rose isn't playing particularly well, but they're getting big contributions from one Jimmy Butler, who I know you have some feels about.
But he's doing...
Take it away.
He's doing really good this year. He's been a sort of overrated by some Chicago fans in the past, but I guess that's paying off this year. He's playing like what they, you know, always thought he was. So, I mean, he's getting to the line a bunch. He's shooting well from mid-range. Not too great from three, but good enough from three still. But it's all about him increasing his usage and the way he gets to the line now. He's just a dynamic player off the dribble and drawing fouls, and he's definitely, you know, improved a bunch, and he's pretty much the runaway, you know, most improved player of the year, and he's probably one of the biggest candidates for that you've ever seen in that category.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no way, barring an injury that sets him out, he's going to win that. I mean, he's an all-star this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing really well. Rose still can't hit a shot, and you just – my biggest concern, as always, with the Bulls is – they just don't have another gear for the playoffs. They are what they are. They play hard as hell for 82 games. And they just don't know how to take any time off. Dibs doesn't let them take any time off. They're always on. So you kind of have what you have. And you just wonder if that's enough in the playoffs when other people kind of, it seems other teams will take their game maybe a little bit to another level. If you don't have another gear to get to, well, I mean, we've seen it in the past. They just get burnt out. And you wonder if that's going to change at all this year. I mean, what do you think of the Bulls' chances come playoff time? I mean, they're obviously a talented team, but do you think they'll be able to take on some of the better teams in the East?
They will, and that's, you know, a credit to their defense. You know, good defenses always do well. They've become pretty good on offense too, but we'll, you know, that's one of the things we'll see how that actually works in the playoffs after 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, big problem, you know, with Tibbs as your coach is always going to be minutes. Right now, you know, Jimmy Butler is averaging 40 minutes a game. Leads the league. Of course, I mean, you always make the argument, well, he's young. I mean, he's 25. But I don't know, like, in the way we've seen, like, you know, teams work in the past. I mean, we've even seen it with LeBron the past couple of years. You get to that point where you cramp up. You know, you can't get quite back together, and it takes a toll on you. So,
yeah.
We need to see. I mean, we need to see where they are health wise by the playoffs. But if they're fully healthy, they'll definitely be, you know, a contender for the East. They'll be, you know, with the, I think they'll be with the other four teams right now. You know, Washington, Toronto, Atlanta. I have no idea what to make of Cleveland right now.
Yeah, it's just, they just got waxed by Dallas today by like 20 something. I mean, we've been on here. I've been out here preaching patience with them for, I feel like, 4 or 5 weeks, saying, oh, they'll turn around. I'm just not convinced at this point. I think it just seems like they just don't have it. Whatever it is that you've got to have to close out games and be competitive start to finish, they just can't do it. They're playing super weird lineups. I mean, LeBron's banged up, Love's banged up. Kyrie left with back stiffness today, so that's not helping anything. But defensively, they're atrocious. Like, they're one of the league's worst teams on defense, and the offense just isn't good enough to carry them.
Right.
Like, they don't have the type of offense that can – I mean, nobody can carry a bottom five defense far in the playoffs. Like, nobody ever does.
No.
You know, I mean, even the best offensive teams have to have, like, a league average type defense to do anything. And – they don't have it. They don't have the pieces to do it. Consensus, you know, when I talk to people around, you know, you talk to scouts and personnel folks, and they're all convinced Deion's gone. You know, mm-hmm. there's almost no doubt in anybody's mind that Deion gets traded before the deadline. But they also all say that everybody knows it, and so nobody's going to give him anything.
Yeah, I mean, why would – I mean, Deion has some talent, but Deion's not good right now.
No.
Like, so there's no, like, reason to give up anything for Deion Waiters.
Yeah, and they have – the pick they have is weird. The protections on the Memphis pick they own are weird. I think it's Memphis. And then it's just – they don't have assets. They don't have assets to go get a whole lot of guys. They might be able to get – Brandon Wright's the name you hear floated out there as the guy they could – possibly get with. They don't want to give up that first round pick, but they're going to have to if they want to. First round pick and Waiters to the Celtics might get you Brandon Wright, but is Brandon Wright pushing this team over to the edge?
No.
So it's really weird to talk about this Cavs team as probably the fifth best team in the East, but you can only say small sample size for so long until you find yourself midway through the damn year.
And you go, that's where we are pretty much right now, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're past the first third of the season, and you're sitting here and you're going, well, you know, shit, at some point you are who you are. And I just don't think this year they've got it. It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Love has the opt-out, and you look at how they're using him, and he's just I did a piece on this the other day, and he's taken – as of, like, last week, he had taken 146 three-pointers to just 147 shots within 8 feet of the rim, which is actually pretty similar to what he did his last season in Minnesota. But, I mean, his first two All-Star seasons, he was getting, I think I did the math, it was 2.2 shots inside 8 feet for every three-pointer. He's not getting any touches down there.
Nope.
They don't work. They don't work him there. They don't work him in pick and rolls.
There's not that much room down there.
He's all pick and pop. There's not room. If you have him with Tristan Thompson, there's no room.
Yeah.
And if you have him on the floor with, you know, I mean, they were playing small ball with James Jones at the four, which was surprisingly decent on defense. In Atlanta, but that's kind of a wacky lineup that you can only use against certain teams, and the Hawks were without Horford.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of worked. But you wonder if Love's going to look at the situation and be like, maybe this is the wrong fit. I mean, he could walk to L.A. this year if he's not happy and he doesn't think it's going in a direction that it's going to be a title. Because he's going to get that money. He might hang on for one more year and wait till the next salary cap, but I don't know. You know, I mean, they could – and I mean, can you imagine if they went and they sent two first-round picks to Minnesota for Love?
For 1 year?
for one year? and it's a year where they end up fifth. I mean, that would be, that's an all-timer.
Yeah. Shout out
Foot Saunders. Wiggins, for whatever criticism he gets, Wiggins is a little bit, he's a player. Yeah. He's going to be a player. I don't blame them for doing it. They had, I mean, we all thought it would work, but defensively, it's so bad.
That's one of the
things. And offensively, Blatt just refuses to use the guys in the way he should.
I mean, I think defensively, everyone sort of saw that coming. I think people thought they'd be a little better. They'd be like, yeah. Oh, LeBron, not realizing, you know, this isn't 2010, 2011, 2012 LeBron anymore. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, I think you said they're bottom five. Obviously, Varejao being out doesn't help, you know. Varejao, yeah. I mean, he's good, but when you're putting your hopes on Varejao, you're grasping a little bit, and I think, you know.
When you have LeBron, Kyrie, and Love, and you're sitting here telling me that Varejao's the key, things have gone awry.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if people tried to compare it to the start that Miami had, and Miami started 9-8, and things weren't great, but then they figured it out quick.
Didn't they win 21 of their next 22, I think, is what...
They went on a tear, and they were back near the first seed by now.
Yeah.
Cleveland's not. They're not even near that.
They're, I think, and 7 games back, 6.5.
Let's see what we got. I mean, they just lost today. They were 19-14 coming into today. So they're a strong, six and a half back of Atlanta. And... You know, they're closer to Brooklyn and Milwaukee than they are to Atlanta, Chicago, and Toronto.
Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago. Yeah. So.
It's wild, man. Yeah. It really is. And then you got Washington, that schedule's gotten tough, and they have not handled it particularly well.
No, they've lost 3 straight. They've still, I mean, still have a home favorite schedule so far. They've played 3 more games at home than they have on the road. So it's not a great sign for them. I think they're still a really good team.
They're still going to be scary in the playoffs.
Because they have, you know, Wall and Pierce and, you know, they have Beal and Nene and all those guys in the playoffs. It's a pretty damn good, you know, lineup that you can throw out there. But, I mean, at some point, you know, you kind of want to see what the Hawks did. The Hawks had that, oh, okay, they've played a weak schedule. They're, you know, we still need to figure out. And then they got in that hard part of their schedule, and they've dominated.
Right.
You sort of want to see that. Chicago's done it pretty much all year. Chicago's had a pretty tough schedule to start the year. Toronto's done the same thing. That Atlanta and Chicago have. And Washington sitting back there, you know, 3 back now out of Atlanta. So you just have to wonder, you know, you want to see like a response out of them at some point. You know, you still have a bunch of games to see that. So if they don't do it soon, it's fine. They could possibly do it later. But at some point, we need to see, you know, that out of them against, you know, the harder opponents.
For sure. And then you move over to the West. We saw Portland last night. That's still a really good team. Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were out without Lopez, and then eventually Joel Freeland, of all people, was, you know, a difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, they it was real thin down there. They were playing Darrell Wright at the 4 against Millsap, and that did not go well.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, when they're healthy, when they get Rolo back, and I still haven't seen an update on Freeland. Hopefully it's not bad.
I think it was a shoulder strain is what they rolled it as for now.
Just a strain? That's good. I was worried he had torn something.
Evaluated in 2 weeks is what I saw.
Okay. You know, I mean, you don't want to lose him for too long, but once Rolo is back, he becomes a little less of a key. Interested to see if they try to work T-Rob in a little more. Obviously, they're not super comfortable with him on the court. But anytime you got Dame and Batum and Aldridge, and Wes Matthews has become a hell of a player mm-hmm. out there, they're scary. They're still scary. We were watching that game, and freaking Neek and Rathbun are out here proclaiming the game over with 16 minutes left, and I'm just like,
I was like, no.
We all knew what happened. We all knew what was going to happen. Dame hit that crazy shot at the end of the third because that's what Dame does.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, oh, my God.
He really hit 2 crazy shots. He had the, corner two-pointer, like, fade away, and it's just like, okay. That's when you were like, oh, crap, that's right. Dame hasn't had a good game yet. And you were like,
and then he gets a runner.
Yeah.
He's still the most. He's one of the most terrifying players in the fourth quarter out there.
Definitely.
Because he just has no conscience about what he does.
He has a good. I mean, he has a good motor and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Stamina. So he's still running quick as shit in the fourth quarter and just, you know.
Everybody else is slowing down.
Getting around screen still quick as day and gets wide open.
He's got a great fifth gear in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's.
That's a great way to put it.
it's the opposite of Russell Westbrook. I think I can't remember who was looking at it. It might have been Ethan Strauss, and he was looking at Westbrook's numbers. In the first quarter, he's just incredible, and then it just slowly tapers off. And then the fourth, he loses his legs. And you look at how a guy like Westbrook plays; even his jump shot is explosive. Like. Nobody jumps higher on the jumper than Russell Westbrook. And you just wonder if maybe, you know, I mean, you overexert yourself, all of a sudden you lose a little leg, and when you put that much leg into your jump shot, you're going to become a little less consistent. And I love Russ.
It's like you compare that to Steph Curry. And, like, one of the things you always see, he's doing well in the fourth quarter, and you look at his jump, he, like, barely, like, jumps on his jumper almost. It's like, the most relaxed motion you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's Russ, like, why it seems so, like it's so easy for him, like, still in the fourth quarter to just knock down crazy, you know, 30 footers.
Yeah. I mean, for Steph, it's just a flick of the wrist. It's just stupid. Like, 30 footers are just pop. And Dame has a similar motion. I mean, Dame just kind of glides into it. And Russ is just, everything Russ does is violent.
Yeah.
Everything he does
that's
is
what's
violent.
So lovable about his game is so much.
And that's why I love watching him play. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's definitely a question, which I think is why, you know, I mean, once Durant's back, that'll be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, once KD's fully there, Thunder is still a problem.
They're good. I think that's one of the favorite things I've seen is what, I mean, you could end up with, like, Golden State OKC in the first round of it.
That sucks stupid. If you're Golden State. That's such a few Golden State. That's miserable. And then the other storyline in the West is Houston with the addition of our friend Josh Smith. We did our own emergency podcast. I said on there plenty about why I didn't like the fit. I just didn't feel like Josh going to a team that suggests shooting three-pointers was a good idea. I was right. When he started, they've been bad, and I said, again, I don't think he should be starting right now. I think his best bet is to come off the bench and be that kind of guy that can facilitate. And on their team, he wouldn't get that shot if he started. They've been great with him off the bench. I think that's how he should be used. Hopefully, he doesn't pout about it. That's just my concern, is that he's going to get upset coming off the bench when he signed because he wanted to be a starter, blah, 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 blah. And I hope Josh realizes that his best bet is to just show that you can play off the bench, show that you're willing to play off the bench, and somebody will give you a shot and put you in the right situation. Mm-hmm. That's his only shot at this
point. It's one of those things, too. It's with him, too. It's like, okay, we promised you we'd make you a starter. We tried that. It sucked. We're going to go a different direction now, and that's working. So hopefully, I hope he can see that, because I still want him to do well. But, I mean, yeah. It was going, he was shooting 29% as a starter.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Yeah.
Averaging, like, 6 points.
Yeah, he looks a lot better as a guy off the bench that can be a facilitator. And he had a nice drop-off pass, I think, last night between the legs to Harden on a fast break. He's still got a little razzle-dazzle in the game. He can still do that stuff.
He helps with it a little bit with his explosion, too. It's not completely there like it used to be. It used to be ridiculous, but I think this helps playing less minutes. He can kind of explode more when he needs to.
I thought 100%. I thought, you know, when you're a starter, there's something, you know, I mean, mentally you just kind of, you naturally find yourself pacing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy like Josh, I think he had a little bit of a hard time finding the right time to turn on the motor. So if you're playing 30 a night and you're trying to balance, okay, when am I really pushing? And he's an effort guy on defense. I mean, he's not huge. he made so many plays because of his effort and he was smart enough to be there. And I think if you're playing 20 minutes a night, it's easier. You don't have to worry quite as much about, okay, do I go for it now? Well, I'm only on the court for 5 minutes at a time. I can, you know, really push it. So I think that'll help him. I do. I think that's his evolution as a player needs to be the first big off the bench, giving you 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's my assessment of Josh.
I think he'd be effective in that role. And yeah.
I will be driving the Josh Smith can be useful bandwagon forever. Till the day he's out of the league.
I'll be there with you. He's a good guy. So
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the main attraction, the podcast.
Main event.
Hawks rapper, owner draft. So just like the Atlanta Spirit Group, which has been, depending on who you ask, a disaster to bad. That's about all you got. I don't know anybody that's like, no, it was cool. No, it's fine. So you got all that going on. They're gone soonish, maybe. So we don't care about the money. Like, they're gonna go for like $800 million or so is all the guesstimates that I've been able to wrangle up from people around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe $1 billion, which seems wild for the Hawks. Like, yeah, that just seems reckless to spend $1 billion on the Atlanta Hawks. But hey, do you? So what we're gonna do is, here are the rules of this. You can draft a group or a single rapper. However, once a rapper is used in any capacity, you cannot take him in another capacity. So we're each going to draft a 7-man rotation, seven deep. Groups count as one, so it doesn't matter. You know, if you want to draft Trillville, you get all of Trillville. You don't get just one. And they don't count as, like, three of your guys. So that's the rule there. We'll just alternate as you requested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna flip a coin here, which is gonna be great for an audio medium. but I'm gonna let you call it in the air.
All right,
ready and go.
Heads.
Ah, damn it. Okay, yeah, you go first.
Ah.
Heads it is. I'm man of my word.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna alternate. And we'll let the people decide who has the best ownership group of the Atlanta Hawks. And when you draft somebody, you got to give a little bit of an explanation of why and kind of what they're going to bring to your ownership group. So I'll let you go ahead and start.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and off the Shaq a couple years ago when they were drafting the Rising Stars game, that he was just like immediately like one thing. So I'm immediately going Outkast with number one pick here. Outkast just represents exactly what Atlanta is. You know, there's everything that you want out of the city. They represent it best. They've been doing it for over 20 years now. I think everything has to start with them. So Outkast.
That's fair. I would be excited for Outkast because maybe Big Boy would throw a Boom Boom Room in Phillips Arena. Like, that would be exceptional. I will take the second greatest group to ever come out of Atlanta, and I'm taking the Migos.
Of course.
For one, maybe we could get some Versace alternates. Like, I'm just thinking big picture here. A giant medallion at midcourt, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of options. You have the Migos sitting mid-court every game. My goal is to take only groups, so I have a 30-man. Just the biggest group ever. Ownership, just nothing gets done. But, yeah, no, the Migos are just a good start. I would have the handsomest and wealthiest owners in the NBA. That's all I know. So I got Migos. You have Outkast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be keeping track of these.
All right. I'm going to group block you here, and I'm going to take, with my second pick, I'm going to take Goody Mob.
Oh.
Old school.
Man, you're just killing me with the old school. All right, Outcast and Goodymo. That's strong. So you get CeeLo in that.
I do.
That's sneaky. All right. I mean, any further explanation for why you would take... I mean, and also, they work great with Outcast. We know this.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's mainly I'm just going, you know, old school representation of Atlanta here so far.
Sure.
With my available picks.
All right. I'm going to go... man. This is very difficult, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and I have to take... Oh, man, I'm torn between two right now. I'm going to take T.I.
Oh.
I don't... I feel like it's a reach at this point, but he's a mogul.
Mm-hmm.
He brings people out. I mean, Hawks have already been working with him a little bit. Oh, shit, that hit. Sorry, I'm off the football. So T.I. Amigos, it's a little blend of both. I mean, he's still relevant, but his best work was older. So I'm going to try and draft, like, Urban Legendary T.I. if I can.
Let me look at the judges.
We got a
thumbs up from Chuck Norris. All right, so you're getting all of T.I. here. You can
so
include
his
past.
T.I. up to like 2006. So up to King is when we're gonna pretend like Paper Trail didn't happen. And so I'm just gonna take that. He's just, you know, King of the South. It's hard to go wrong. So Migos and T.I. for me, Outkast and Giddy Mob for you. I feel like I'm losing this. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I'm stuck between two right now.
Torn.
I gotta go Jeezy.
Nice!
I mean, he's already got shows up a bunch to quite a few Hawks games when he can, so, I mean, it's...
Oh, I hate you so much. I was trying to get the Jeezy-T.I. connection. Fine.
Put on for my city.
Yeah, Jeezy's good. All right. I got to take Gucci. Got to. Here's the thing.
You countered my Jeezy with Gucci. That's a good counter.
I mean, they can't be together. They don't like each other.
Right.
So, I got, you know, Gucci. I feel like him and the Migos could be fire together. I mean, he's an innovator. I love me some Gucci. I grew up on that. He might be in jail a lot, but that's a, I mean, if he can release 8 mixtapes in jail, he can certainly make some business decisions in jail. I have no problem. Like, I don't know what jails he goes to that they allow him just kind of like be in the studio. But Gucci's got some connections, clearly. Either that or he raps over a payphone, which is even better. So, I feel like he's industrious. T.I. and Gucci will probably never be out of jail at the same time. So, it's just really a hedge against that. Okay. That's really where I'm going.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I didn't think he'd fall this far, to be honest. Like the 7th pick, I'm going to take already.
2 Chainz.
Yep, 2 Chainz. Already honorary Atlanta Hawks owner, 2 Chainz.
That's why I didn't want to take him. He's already there.
He's already, what, because he's already...
Yeah, I mean, he's, I don't know. Nah, I like 2 Chainz. And he knows basketball, too.
Right. And I just want more clips of 2 Chainz on the Jumbotron dancing to his own music for, like, an awkward minute. And
it's really weird.
It's really hilarious, though.
While his daughter sits next to him. Like,
and the previous, like, you know... Owners are we're next to, or the current owners, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, that's who I want. 2 Chainz.
All right.
I think that was telegraphed. I was going to take up 2 Chainz at some point.
I thought about taking him to keep you from taking him, but I really wanted Gucci. I'm going to take Rich Gang, Rich Homie Quan, and Young Thug. I feel like that's a steal at the 8th pick. It's too easy. So, like, I have the best of, like, the new school, for sure. Migos and Rich Gang, like, I connect with the young audience, you know? Like, I feel like I really do here. Also, again, uniform options. Young Thug can design some stuff, some weird shit. And we can just have his ad-libs as, like, drops when people make shots. Just Young Thug ad-libs. Quan voice. It'd be great. So, I got Rich Gang. We each have 4. I feel like I'm catching up.
Let me think. Do I have to... all right. Can I take Run the Jewels? Can I only take Killer Mike?
You can only take Killer Mike. LP does not count, but do you want Killer Mike?
Yeah, I want Killer Mike.
Oh, man. I mean, you're really just going with all of Outkast's friends at this point. Like, if they've been on the song with Outkast, you have them, which I respect.
Has 2 Chainz been on the song with Outkast?
No,
Titty Boy, maybe? I don't know.
No, Titty Boy. Hey, you should have taken Play a Circle. Hey, Duffel Bag Boys. That was a classic. That was a banger back in the day.
Yeah, but I'm taking. I want all of Killer Mike. Mike. I want, you know, old school Killer Mike and Run the Jewels Killer Mike.
Oh man, that's a strong pick. He's also quite the representative of Atlanta.
All right, Robbie, your 5th pick.
Oh man, okay. Jermaine Dupri.
Oh man.
So deaf. I want the billboard back. That's all I care about. I care about nothing other than bringing the so deaf billboard back to Atlanta. So we're gonna put Jermaine Dupri on. He really doesn't bring anything at this point, other than so deaf. That's all. 100% reason I'm doing it. Plus, I feel like at this point, my next 2 picks, I already have them in my head, and there's no way that you take them, so I feel okay.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
I have 2. I know 1 you're not gonna, definitely not on your list. I don't, but
we got 2 left. Go ahead.
Damn, this is a tough decision.
Somebody's getting left off, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be some angry people in the comments. I'm sure we're going to have comments.
Go ahead.
I
can't believe Jermaine Dupri just got picked. I had to, though.
Can I take... I'm going to take mid-2000s them franchise boys.
Oh! Hey.
White tee?
Talks about the play in some 4X white tees. really excited for that. And 1 mixtape tour back in the day.
Definitely.
I mean, that's a strong pick. I don't even know. Are they still alive?
I'm not even sure. I can't remember that anything they've done in the past, like, 5 years at least.
I don't think they've done anything. But that's okay, because we're bringing them out of retirement.
Yeah. And I'm taking the 2005 version, just like you took the, you know, 2003 version of T.I.
That's fine. I took mid-2000 T.I. You can have 2000s Dim Franchise Boys. I'm pretty sure every beat that Dim Franchise Boys rapped over was made on Fruity Loops, a stolen copy. By the way, I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. So if you're going to take Dim Franchise Boys, that's where I get torn. Because at this point, there's like 3 groups I want, and I can only take 2. So I'm going to take... Yin Yang Twins. Yin Yang and the Thang.
Yeah, alright, I see you.
That's a strong...
I can't say... I cannot... I'd say that I really thought of taking that.
It's coming down to this last one's going to be tough. This is going to be a tough choice. But these are really good ownership groups, by the way. I think a lot's going to get done.
Oh, man. This is my last pick, isn't it? This is number 7?
This is number 7. We are on to the end.
Man. Hold on, let me consult with my people real quick. God. You know, I'm going to take Future.
Hey, all right.
For me, it was between him and Luda. And I felt...
Luda's about to get left out. Yeah. I'm not taking... Like, that thing is like...
I mean, I just feel like Future's a little more... shockingly, Future's a little more relevant right now than Luda, but, so...
Oh, no, yeah. No doubt.
So...
No. Plus, I mean,
How old is Luda? Luda's got like 40-something by now, ain't he?
Luda's getting up there. He's fine. He doesn't need
to. I mean, he would have gone with my theme of classic Atlanta, but I'll, you know, mix it up a little bit.
So, I mean, oh, man. All right. Damn. This is very difficult.
Last pick.
With my final pick, I take Crime Mob.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Crime Mob it is.
That's a good one.
That means I get to bring Lil Scrappy into this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got Crime Mob with my last pick, which means we left some names out, which is just really a testament to Atlanta rap.
It is.
To be honest. Young Dro did not make the cut. Lil Jon did not make the cut, which might have been an oversight.
Yeah.
But D4L did not make the cut, which hurt me. That was really what it came down to, Crime Mob or D4L. But yeah. Charlie Low and T.I. don't get along, so I couldn't have that tension.
I was just thinking that, like, after I was like, no one took T.I. Or not T.I., Lil Jon. I was like, oh.
It happens.
Yeah.
I mean, but really it was... So final tallies, Bo's ownership group is Outkast, Goody Mob, Jeezy, 2 Chainz, Killer Mike, Dim Franchise Boys, and Future. Myself, Migos, T.I., Gucci Mane, Rich Game, Jermaine Dupri, Yin Yang Twins, and Crime Mob. I think either would be well suited to run the Hawks. Also, no Bubba Sparks, and I'm sure Hyken will be upset that there's no Soulja Boy, but
that,
I'm sorry.
That was not an oversight.
That was not an oversight. That was purposeful. No Trillville, no Pastor Troy. I mean, we missed a lot of folks, but we can't
shout out
Atlanta.
On.
So it happens. So that's our ownership group draft. In all honesty, I have no idea who the actual ownership group is. No one does. It's probably going to be some guy no one's ever heard of that owns businesses somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
That's about every ownership group ever. And then, maybe we heard all those rumors. Chris Webber had a group.
Dikembe had a group.
Dikembe had a group. Neek had a group. Those guys do not have ownership money. So I question whether those groups are legit. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't.
I was thinking maybe they could buy the... Maybe they had enough for, like, the controlling interest, which was 50.1%, and that's Levinson's group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see, either, like, any of those guys fronting a group that's about to put up $1 billion for the Hawks.
Yeah, that's strange. I don't know.
It could happen. Maybe there is that one guy's just, you know, wants someone else to be
the face of it. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think that could happen where Neek or Dikembe or C-Web, one of those guys is just brought on a Jay-Z type stake where it's like they just really want a face of the ownership group that connects with the community, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq's an owner of the Kings, you know. We've seen this before.
Well, Shaq's got quite a bit of money.
Shaq's got a more significant share than a lot of those guys did. But, I mean, Jay-Z didn't have much of the Nets, and he was enough to get the damn team moved to Brooklyn. So,
all I know is if out of all, you know, actual choices, give me Hawks owner Dikembe Mutombo. It's perfect. Just everything about it is perfect.
It would be pretty great.
I want to see those press conferences.
Oh, my God. No, no, no.
Dikembe just wagging his finger at bad questions.
Essentially. It would be interesting. It's a really interesting time for the Hawks. They're really good on the court. Still a mess off of it, just simply because we don't know who's going to be the owner. But, yeah, someone's going to pay a lot of money for this team. And they better keep Bud.
Yeah.
And they better try to keep Al. And do what they can to keep Paul, because this is a really good group.
It is.
And it could be really good for a few years. Any final thoughts before we log off?
I got nothing.
Great as always,
yep,
though.
That's what I'm here for.
Dynamite drop in money. Yeah, so thanks for listening again. Hopefully Let us know what you think of our rapper owner draft. Oversights, who you think has the best group. Compliments and criticisms are always welcome. Thanks for joining us again, and we'll be back next week, maybe. I don't know. I'll be in Vegas. We might record one live with me in Vegas. That could be fun. So we'll see what goes down. We'll see where I'm at financially and mentally.
Get Robbie Callen from the roulette tables live.
live from the craps table in the back of Caesars. So we'll see how that goes. But thanks for listening, and we'll be back shortly.